I haven't thought about Beck in a long time. Thanks for that song, Jasmine. How sweet. Great job, Steve Bertrand, Judy Pilek in the studio with me sitting in for Bill Leff.
Woo, woo.
How are you and Bertrand going to get along today?
Do I get to even interact with him? Hi, Steve.
Oh, man.
Great newscast.
I know.
All right,
How long have you guys known each other?
Too long.
You've both been here about the same amount of time, correct?
Yes. I think Steve has a year on me.
Wow. Who made it into the Walk of Fame first?
No one's counting those things. Wendy, why do you start this way?
Because that's fun. Because I'm playing the part
of
you.
Don't get me started on that. Yeah.
I am. I'm playing the part of Steve Bertrand today.
Okay.
All right. So I was whining to you a little bit off the air because we have started a construction project at our house. And if Jimmy Mack and I make it through this construction project, then our marriage will last forever.
You're on solid ground, huh?
Oh, my God. It's, I have been hemming and hawing about getting a new kitchen, picked out my cabinets at Builder Supply Outlet. And timing is nothing to me, if I can just tell you. Had my knee surgery, a replacement on December 7th, got home on the 10th, and the cabinets were delivered on December 12th.
Now you did this on purpose. I mean, you planned all this. It wasn't like it just popped up, right? They didn't say, oh, how about some cabinets?
No. I've been thinking about it for a year, and I finally pulled the trigger. But I'm not very good at planning ahead. I'm kind of a last-minute person. So when I ordered the cabinets at Builder Supply Outlet, I love them. They're awesome. The cabinets are the most beautiful thing in the world. They said, 4 to 6 weeks to arrive. But I didn't figure out that timeline.
Right.
So they arrived on December 12th, and I have
subconsciously, did you, because you knew you'd be laid up? And you couldn't do it.
No, because the cabinets arrived on the 12th, and they've just been sitting in boxes in our dining room. So we have no dining room.
Yeah, okay, that was a really
That's
really bad decision making there.
I know. So thankfully, we didn't entertain for the holidays. I had Thanksgiving, and then cabinets were delivered and all in our dining room. And then they're starting work. I have hired Frank Fontana, who's amazing, and his crew, led by Joe Narduli, have started the work today. And all they told us to do was clean out the kitchen cabinets in the kitchen.
And they were cleaned out, right, when they showed up this morning? They were empty?
90%. So then
let me just tell you, crews love that when they show up and
I feel
still
terrible.
Cereal in the cabinet.
I know. And, poor Jimmy Mack had to do it all by himself because I can't really bend yet with this knee. And so I was kind of bitching at him this morning, like, wow, what part of clean out the kitchen did you not get?
Well, you said 90%. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but you feel bad when a contractor arrives and they're not ready for demolition.
And they're cleaning out your cabinets.
I know. What are you going to do? Here's the problem. And had I done this with Jimmy Mack, I have things in there that I have to give to Goodwill. I mean,
that's what everyone should be doing right now. Cleaning everything out,
my God.
Donating to Goodwill.
You are the goodbye girl.
I am the
goodbye
girl.
Funny how this works out.
I know, right?
I want to tell you about some things that you get for your wedding. So that was 20 years ago for me. A fondue pot. Never used it once. Probably
still in
never
the box?
Gonna, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think they say maybe if you don't use it for a year.
Okay. This is 20.
All right. Well, so you
so
want to make
it?
Sure.
So now am I sure? Can I get rid of it?
Get rid of it.
Little dessert parfait glasses that I wanted and I registered for at Crate and Barrel when we got married.
Oh, gosh. Why?
Because
you made a lot of parfaits.
I did nothing like that,
That's
but
hilarious.
I thought I would.
Okay, I registered for a sterling silver tea set. It was a joke, along with the vacuum, which I loved.
But Judy and her tea party.
Yeah, I got the tea set. Mm-hmm.
Have
Still
you used
have
it?
I have used it.
Okay, and that's beautiful. That's something you should keep. But like,
It's got. I have to because our names are engraved on it. So there you go. But. I used to, where is that tea set? Now that I think about it, I should put it out. And I used to have it out, but it's silver.
What happened? You have to polish it, man. A lot.
It's just one of those things I didn't think through.
Well, I save everything. I started watching Hoarders last year, and it tugged at my heartstrings because I really felt for these people. It's not about, like, I collect junk, and you hold on to things. Like, I'm weird. I will hold on to... if I get a new light fixture and I have to cut the cord to make it shorter, I will save those wires because I know MacGyver's going to need them someday.
Oh, man. You're in deep.
Well, that's...
That's pretty bad.
That's the weird
stuff. I thought
you
were going to say you hold on to the light, the old light fixture, which, okay, maybe for a while, but the cord?
I know. I'm weird, and then I like to rig things and fix things. I like to tinker, as they say.
All right. Well, that's not bad, then. Get yourself a little tackle box and put all your tinkering stuff in there.
All right. So what?
So it's really about organizing, which, by the way... I'll be doing my video this month for the Goodbye Girl on organizing.
Okay, well, I'll be watching it because there is just, I don't know where to put things.
Right.
Nothing has a place in our house. We just repurpose stuff and move piles
around.
That's
the problem. It's not that, because we all have junk. I'm the same way. Although I will say, a couple years ago, I made a rule for myself that I have kept, that I don't buy anything anymore that I don't use. In other words.
Give me an example.
Well, like, I'll be like, oh, I love that, you know, that. Coca-Cola cooler. I have to have that. You know, I find it at an antique place or something.
Like an old-time Coca-Cola.
Cooler. So I bought it, but I keep all my water bottles in it in the kitchen.
So if you need a bottle of water,
it's right there.
It's on display. It looks cool.
It looks cool. And we use it. Oh, it's that because we all like our it's so funny.
I like bottled water,
yes,
too.
And not in the refrigerator. We like it
room temperature.
Yeah, room temperature. So anyway,
that's a great idea.
I would have bought that. I would have still bought that. And it would have sat somewhere just looking pretty.
So you have to have a purpose for something
you
buy.
Yes, I have to use it. I have to use it or I don't buy it. And I mean, it's been hard. And I stop myself all the time because I'm always at the Goodwills and I'm always finding these amazing things. Sometimes I'll take a picture and text all my friends and see if anyone wants it, but I do not do it anymore. So getting back to your question, we all have all this junk. It's just you got to put it somewhere. Baskets. Use stuff like the cooler. You just have to find, and I love unique containers, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, like I have a plant that's in a file drawer. You know,
You are so funky, Judy Pilot.
Look, you know what? Here's the thing. People talk about doing these things, but they just don't do them. I do them.
All right. So do you hire yourself out? What is your rate?
I don't, but instead I give myself out to everyone as the Goodbye Girl.
And we can see that at WGN.
You know, this year I think we're going broader. We're going maybe YouTube and Facebook.
Wow.
I know, right?
Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah. And actually I'm doing an appearance too. I will be at a Goodwill store this month on the 27th in Bolingbrook, 2 to 4. And I am going to have a display that I'm going to come up with on a football theme party because we all know the big game is coming up.
Which doesn't matter at all if you live in Chicago.
Yeah, okay, I know. Should I wear my Bears jersey? Maybe not. People might not like that.
Yeah, we have new hope now that Nagy's with
That's
us.
That's true. Don't nag me about that.
I won't.
So anyway, I'll be there. Yeah, stop by 2 to 4, and someone can win the whole display and take it home. And we're gonna give away Blackhawks tickets and Cubs tickets and a whole bunch of free stuff.
All right, now which Goodwill is this on the
Willowbrook?
20th? Okay,
right off the old Route 83, not the old route, actually the new one.
Oh, I go to that.
Yeah,
Goodwill.
It's a really nice one.
Oh yeah,
it's in a little shopping center. You can't miss it. Yeah,
there's a Juicio there.
Yes, and
right.
Whole Foods.
All right, I'm going.
Yes, there is a Juicio. I've eaten there. That's,
all right, so the 27th of this month.
Of this month, 2 to 4,
I'll
and
be there.
I will give out tips on how to organize your life.
All right, and that's the hard part for me. And I have some things that we should definitely get rid of. Can we discuss this when we return?
Absolutely.
It's Judy Pilak. She's in for Bill Left. Bill returns on Friday, by the way. He's at a toy convention in Oklahoma.
Come on. Is he really?
He is incapacitated for the next few days. So he'll be back on Friday. Judy Pilak in with me, Wendy Snyder, on 720 WGN. And it's Wendy Snyder here along with Judy Pilak, who is sitting in for Bill Left today. Still to come on the show, we are going to talk about... junk food, and you can really become
from junk to junk food.
Yes. Oh wow! I didn't even that wasn't even planned.
It's a new year, Wendy. It's all about
getting the junk
cleansing.
Out of your life.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Yes.
But now, junk food can be addicting, and you hear that, but you don't know how. We're going to talk about that. Also, the Consumer Electronics Show is going on. We have Ian Scher from CNET. We're going to talk to him on our Tech Tuesday. And right now we were talking about clutter, trying to clean out our kitchen. Here's the most difficult thing in your kitchen. I buy things when it's on sale. I love rice pilaf. It's called Near East, I think, is the brand. So whenever it's on sale, I buy rice pilaf because it's when I make shish kebabs or something.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And how many times do you throw it away because it's expired?
Well, going through the cabinets, there were, I think, oh, I wish Jim was listening. I think the oldest thing we had was 2007. Isn't that disgusting?
No, I just canned food item. I just threw something out that was 2015, and I was really surprised. I think it was in the freezer, maybe. I don't remember what it was. So, no, no, it doesn't really surprise
2007?
Me.
2007?
Was it rice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. It was rice or stuffing.
Was it rice or was it maggots?
No. Oh, gross me out. Well, some things that you should get rid of, apartmenttherapy.com. And if you have an apartment, you don't even have as much room. So really, you should purge. Expired coupons should be tossed out.
Yep.
I start a little booklet where I start saving them, and then I give up about 2 weeks into it. And I'm sure I have coupons from 1980.
The best
thing, Aquanet.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure. I know it's ridiculous. In my purse, I find stuff that really I don't even think it's mine. But you know, the best thing I ever did was I downsized. I moved from my big house to a small house.
And then you have to.
I have to. Yeah, I absolutely have to. And it's, you know what? It's like a relief. I don't have crap everywhere anymore.
I need to purge big time. Old magazines. I subscribed to the Oprah magazine. I know O is very popular right now. It was a special deal on Groupon, like $5 for a year, and I keep renewing it because it's only $5. Feel a little guilty. I should be paying full price for Oprah, but no.
And so you read them, though, right?
I haven't. There are probably four that haven't even been opened yet, and I just pile them up, and you know what? I should really stop getting magazines.
I just threw away, I don't know, maybe 5,000 People magazines for my daughter. And I get it. It's like you don't want to throw those away.
Because, I know. Yes,
oh, well, look at who's on the cover. Oh, I haven't read that, you know, article. No, you got to do it. Just got to do it. Toss them.
Expired pantry items, which we ran across, canned goods, spices. I know they say spices don't go bad, but, oh, my mother-in-law was going through a spice cabinet, and this is when McCormick had a completely different label on it. I think it was from, like, the 80s. I said, I'd get new marjoram if I were you, you know? You could use some new
right.
nutmeg. Old clothes, and that is a great thing to just go to Goodwill. Donate
right,
to Goodwill. We have a nurses association in our neighborhood that we give it to as well. What else? Mismatching Tupperware. Found a lot of that cleaning
Perfect.
Out the kitchen.
Perfect. You know, sets of glasses you haven't used forever. Plates.
My parfait glasses? I
Your
gotta
parfait,
get rid of those.
I would get rid of those.
Unless I used them twice.
Unless you know how to make a parfait.
Well, you could just do...
How many do you have? 12?
Yeah, a set of 12.
Are those those cute little glass ones, those parfaits?
Yeah.
I just, my mother-in-law gave me hers. I go, I'll never use these. What am I going to do? The other day we had gelato on New Year's Eve, you know, like, I don't know, for dessert. And I said, I'm getting out those little parfait glasses.
Perfect.
And I used
them. You want
them
some more?
They were, no. No. I have four. That's all I want.
Oh, yeah. See, I have 12. And, you know, you register for all this stuff when you're getting married. And everybody says, get a set of 12.
Right.
I don't have the silverware left because living with two teenage boys and Jimmy Mack, who counts as a third one, I think a lot of times they eat off of paper plates and throw my silverware
yes,
out.
All the time.
So I have mismatched stuff that I get. I don't even care about that anymore. But I can't get rid of those parfait
yeah.
glasses.
Okay, how about, you know, you could use them to keep your rings in or your earrings or something.
I don't have
seashells.
That many. Seashells. Oh, my God.
Just more clutter. No, don't.
I
got to
get
rid
of them. And then I had to buy these really cool beer glasses because, again, you're registering.
Right.
I never use them. Ever.
You get rid of them.
Right.
And then when you need them, you go back to Goodwill. Like, I do this all the time for parties. I need four more plates. I go buy plates. And then if I don't have room, I just give them back. I donate them back.
That's what my sister does at Goodwill. If she doesn't feel like ironing a blouse, she'll go buy one and then she'll donate it back.
I know. That's how I get my frustrations out. Okay, if I can't have it, I'm going to just have it for a little while and then you can have it back.
That is really turning the world around with recycling.
Mm-hmm. Or Judy brings us her clothes, which is wonderful.
Yes, I do that
she brings
too.
Brings a lot to the newsroom.
There
we
you go.
We go through them and we pick them up.
I first give them to all my friends and whoever wants what, and then whatever's left, I take to Goodwill.
That's a good idea. John, you have an idea for old magazines?
Absolutely. Take them to any place with a waiting room. Hospital, doctor, dentist, auto shop, you name it. Anywhere people have to wait.
That's a good idea, because a lot of the doctor's offices have the magazines from 2014 anyway.
And you know what? If it's a People magazine, it's full of articles that are still relevant today. So take them in and let people read them.
All right. That's a good idea.
That's
Thank you very
idea.
Much. Although I don't know that you can just bring it to a doctor's office.
Yeah, you might want to ask first.
But the auto shop, you know... the muffler shop. Go ahead, Jiffy Lube.
Yes,
bring it over there.
I'm sure they would take it. No problem.
Takeout menus you should throw out because they're all online. I never even thought of that. There's everyone has a drawer.
And, yeah, and why do they still give them to you? I hate it.
Because sometimes if you save 20,
coupon too.
Yeah,
yeah. There's the coupon that will be expired for 19 years when you order the pizza.
Yeah, that's
what people go, oh, I got the coupon here. Hold on.
I found a gift card for over $200 for a place that you could make your own meals. It there was one in LaGrange. I think they're, I'm not sure the name of it, so I don't want to say it wrong. But when I had my other knee replaced 11 years ago, I was working with another radio person. And then when I had my knee replaced, I came back and got fired. But they gave me a kick-ass $250 gift card to a place that you can pick up dinner items.
Yeah, like to-go meals.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. But it's $250. I found it the other day. I got fired for it. I feel like, don't they still have to honor it? There's no expiration date. There's one in a different town.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It should still be okay.
No expiration date. Don't they have to honor it?
Absolutely.
Didn't Lisa Madigan do something
so
with...
So here's, though, I think they can take a little bit of the value maybe every year.
Because this
year.
Was 11 years ago.
Yeah, so maybe it's now worth $2.95.
Like $2.95?
Yeah, I don't know, but maybe they don't. Maybe it's still... Okay, that I'm with you on that one. I'm terrible about that. I ordered a portrait. There was like this girls' night out one time in my town, and we're walking around town going to all these places, and there was a portrait place. I'm like, I'm going to get it, and it was a great deal. Do you think I ever got that portrait? No. It's been maybe 6 years.
How much was it?
It was enough.
And they never sent it?
No, we never took it. I bought the package.
Oh, my God.
Because it was a portrait. Now, you think it's bad trying to just throw things out or, you know, get three kids together. And,
yeah.
And now the puppy. Oh, maybe I'll get the puppy done.
There's what you should do.
Yeah, that'll get me in there.
All right, Judy's in for Bill. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Get up, get on up. Thank you, Steve. Get up, get on up. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Judy Pilak. And Bill Leff will return on Friday. Taking a little breather here. He worked a full week, you know, coming back from the new year.
He needed a week off. I hear it, man.
We were talking about getting rid of things. I am getting my kitchen redone. So going through, how many junk drawers typically do people have?
I only have one. I'm pretty proud of that.
I had 6 junk drawers.
Wow.
And
tell me just what was in one of them.
A lot of tape, batteries.
Batteries, tape,
two
batteries.
Drawers were filled with old medications. Now, I have two boys with ADHD. I have ADHD, so we went through a plethora of medications over the course of the years to get the proper cocktails together. And I guess I should have disposed of them. Some.
Yes. And that would be a controlled substance as well. So
yeah, those are.
You need to do that properly.
Yeah, and I didn't know how to do that, so Jim was just going to throw them in the garbage, and I said, I don't think you can do that. But see, honestly, how would you know
right,
that?
Right, I know, exactly. But yeah, that's a bad thing to do, throw them in the garbage, and I think flush them.
Yeah.
So I don't even, what do they have, days where you can take them somewhere?
Yeah, they have drug take-back programs.
Perfect.
So I had Jim put them in a Trader Joe's shopping bag, and he said, really? Because this is just going to sit in our room. And I said, well, I want to go through and take our name and address.
Oh, that's a great idea, too.
You know, because then I can recycle the little
bottles.
Containers. Yeah. I'm not kidding you, there's probably 200.
Wow.
So my fingers will be bleeding, but I will take the labels off. And then do I just pour the drugs into like a Ziploc bag and on a drug take back program?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they need to be in the containers. Why would they? No.
Yeah, because they're not going to use them.
Yeah, you're not going to give. I don't think anyone would come over to the drug take back program with, you know, aspirin in a bag. So they're going to assume that they're. It's medicine that should be disposed of properly.
Yeah.
Hey, you could use those containers for nails. I do.
For nails?
You know, in my garage.
Oh, to pound in. Yeah, I was thinking nails. Of your fingernails.
No. The real nails that I pound in and make stuff with.
All right. Remove all drugs from their original containers. If you're going to throw them in a household trash, interesting here, remove the drugs from their original containers and mix them with something undesirable, such as used coffee grounds, dirt or cat litter.
There you go. Then people won't be
yeah
taking them out of your garbage, which I guess happens all the time.
Yeah, but what about like a raccoon? I don't want like a raccoon on ADHD meds.
Oh, well, maybe they don't like the grounds either.
Yeah, maybe not. I got to find when your drug take back programs happen. National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. They have them in various communities, and I think I could go to the website.
I wonder if they would dissolve. Can you dissolve them somehow?
Well, I know that in the old days they would say flush them down the toilet, but then I heard that you're not supposed to because that goes to our water supply.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then people are going to like grow three heads and stuff.
Which, if you had read Greek Love, would be a good thing.
Geek Love. Not
what
Greek Love.
Oh, Geek Love, right?
Greek Love is, you know, from your frat party days.
I got it in Greece. That's why.
All right. Well, that's something that I had too many junk drawers, and I got to find out when my village does.
Now, when you get your new kitchen, you're just going to have one junk drawer, right? Start new. Start fresh.
That's what this is all about.
How many batteries do you need?
They're not for me, by the way, so quit snickering, everyone. The kids have a lot of electronics and remotes, so they're usually triple A's or double A's. I mean, I guess they're, I don't need that many.
Right. I usually have one, you know, container of that I buy. And
various sizes.
When we're getting low, when there are two left, I go out and buy another one.
You need to get me organized. Yeah. You need to make me a better woman, Judy.
Girlfriend, Pilot. You got to do that yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's a new year. That's what we need to do. And it's a Tech Tuesday. So we will talk to Ian Scher, who is, I believe, at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas as we speak. So our Tech Tuesday coming our way next, 720 WGN. All right, so that music means it is a Tech Tuesday, and if you go to CNET.com, which I have been going to for years whenever I need reviews of something or I want some information about technology, and Ian Scher is over at CNET.com. Ian, I think it's an exciting time of the year. Aren't you at the Consumer Electronics Show?
Yes, it's very exciting. It's interesting because, I mean, I joke around that this is Nerd Christmas. But, you know, it's really when we see some of the newest technologies that are going to be coming out in the next year. And that's from all sorts of places in the industry, whether it's phones or televisions or even like bathroom sinks. It's just everywhere. We get to see kind of what the industry is trying to do.
I got an alert on my iPhone from CNET, oddly enough, because I subscribe. And they were talking about giant TV that was like 125 inches and another one that rolls up like a poster. Talk to us, Ian.
Yeah. So the you know, one of the things the industry has been trying to do is get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so, you know, it's actually quite hard to make a TV that is super duper large, right? Oh, more often than not, you've seen them like at sporting events and stuff. They're actually multiple TVs brought together. So that's one thing. Being able to make them really large is actually a technological feat. The other is this rolling up one, which I want myself. It's made by LG, which is one of the biggest TV brands, and it literally rolls up into a box. You know, it's about the size of one of those. You remember the speaker bars that they sell these days? It's about the size of one of those. And yeah, it's great. Like if you're going to the Super Bowl party and your friend has a pretty bad TV, you just put it under your arm, bring it over and put it up.
And then it connects to, now obviously the hardware is in a unit that you need to connect it to. So is that interchangeable? Yeah. Do you have to bring that part to your friend's house too if they have a crappy TV?
Yeah, likely. I haven't actually touched it myself. We have a couple of videos, but we haven't gotten to spend a lot of time with it. And so I imagine a lot of this stuff that I've seen before, there tends to be some piece of hardware that connects to it that, like, is where you put the power in and you put in the inputs and everything. So, yeah, there'll be something. But, look, you think a couple of years down the line, this stuff is going to get really great. And part of it, by the way, is part of a trend. Because of the types of screens we're all using now, that includes the screens on the iPhones and the Galaxies and all of that, they're bendable. And so we're going to see a lot of innovation in the next couple of years where companies are trying to actually give us really big screens, but put them in tiny form factors that we can then unwrap or unroll or whatever when we need to use them.
How's the quality?
Ian, yeah, exactly. This is Judy. I was going to say, how big do we need to go? I mean, and what kind
never
of,
can be too
what
big.
What kind of a room? I'm thinking about my living room. My whole wall would be taken up with.
How cool
and
would
I would
that be?
2 feet
this
from it.
This is America. We love big stuff. Come on.
We all know bigger is not
no,
better.
Look, I'm not getting into that, but I will tell you that with TVs, there's actually research on what's the ideal quote unquote TV size for a room, and most people have TVs that are smaller than the ideal size. And so, actually, offering a way to get one, like I have a TV that's smaller than the room that I should be putting in for maximum viewing and all of that, right? To watch the explosions on Star Wars and really enjoy it. So what this allows is for me to get a large TV, but not feel like it's obstructing the room when I don't need it. And that's actually a really key thing. Like a lot of people try to put their TVs like near the fireplace or hang them on the wall because they're kind of annoying sometimes when they're not being used. And in fact, some companies in the past have even tried to turn them into like works of art when they're off, right? They actually like, you know, so. Finding a way to kind of hide the TV when you don't need it is actually a really important thing, and this seems to be a smart way to do that.
Ian Schur on the line with us. It's a Tech Tuesday. He's executive editor, news of CNET. You can find him on Twitter at Ian Schur, I-A-N-S-H-E-R-R, at the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, we're just supposed to call it now, right?
Yes, exactly. They stopped calling themselves the quote, unquote Consumer Electronics Show, but good luck getting me to do that. I'm always going to call it the Consumer Electronics Show.
Well, yeah, because people are going to go, what does CES stand for? But what is the coolest stuff you're seeing out there? Gadgets, robots, what are you seeing that is really catching your eye?
Yeah, so I think the most interesting stuff I've seen, one of them is this kind of trend toward smart assistants, right? A lot of people over the holidays got these Amazon Echo things or the Google Home Minis, and they were like $30, right? And so a lot of people got them in their stockings. Amazon said that it was...
Did we lose you? Ian Schur. Did we lose you? All right, we're going to try and call him back. You want to try and call him back really quick? I want to ask him also about... do you have an iPhone?
Yes.
Okay.
A really old one.
I have a 6S, I think.
I have a 5.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe that works. So I'm wondering...
I own it, too. Let me just tell you. I'm owning
good
it.
Good for you.
I got a 5.
But you can get new batteries now for $29 as opposed to $89, and I didn't know if it started yet. It's going to
well,
go through this whole year.
Well, let me tell you, Kim Gordon in the newsroom is having an issue with her. You know, she has like a 19 phone. Whatever, we're up to 12.
Oh, the 10. New one?
Yeah. Anyway, she's been having an issue. She went to the Apple store. They, for her, for that issue, which is not battery related, they told her it's going to be about a week because they are so backed up with the battery issue.
Yeah.
That they're, which, but I understand is going quick. You come in and it's only taking a few minutes.
And they're going
to
do it throughout the whole
year.
Yes,
but they're taking care of that first because they've gotten a lot of bad press on that.
Ian Schur's back on the line. We lost you in the midst of all the electronics over there.
Yeah. The connections in this place are pretty bad. That's another technology they need to work on.
Right.
But, as I was saying, these smart assistant devices were really popular around the holidays. Amazon said that it was one of the best-selling things on Amazon throughout the entire website. And so now we're starting to see it put into everything. We're seeing them in light fixtures, in bathroom ply, like in the toilet and in the shower. And it's just really interesting, like the idea of, let's see how many places we can put these things so that you don't have to think about whether or not there's a device near you, right? You just, you know, call out for Alexa and suddenly it'll respond.
Flush the toilet, Alexa.
Kind of like Star Trek with the computer.
I have two words to say, Big Brother. I mean, come on. There are these microphones everywhere.
There is that concern, right? There's an always-on microphone around you. And look, that is a hurdle that the tech industry has to overcome, is especially after the revelations from Edward Snowden and all these things that have happened. You know, where is our privacy? That is 100% a reasonable thing to discuss and question the industry on. We at CNET ask about it all the time. And it is a concern because if we're going to be convinced to put these microphones throughout our homes, we have to know that our privacy is being protected. And these companies have had a number of snafus where it raises questions about how well they're handling that. So absolutely, you are very right to bring that up.
But, but in the meantime,
it was really interesting. Yeah,
I love my Alexa.
Oh,
I mean,
do?
Oh my gosh.
Well, there you go, right?
Yeah, I'm so lazy now, I don't even have to think.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem, but go ahead.
No, it is a problem, right? Because they hooked us on it, and eventually we're going to get used to just calling out for it to tell us, like, you know, whatever. And then, you know, it turns out that possibly there's a privacy snafu, and we're very frustrated with them. So they have to make sure they build these correctly the first time around, 100%. So on the wackier side of the tech industry stuff, I tried out last night a headband that's supposed to help me lose weight. And what it does is that it's made by a guy who was a doctor over at UC San Diego, University of California. And what it does is that it sends electrical pulses through the bottom of your brain. And supposedly that tells, the body that it's done creating fat and it's now okay to start eating it. And it's weird, I have to admit. I felt like, you know, I tried it for about 10 minutes, and I felt like a little woozy because of the electrical impulses, and they said that's perfectly normal. That's why they tell you to sit down with it. But the guy said that they've already had about a couple thousand people use it, and the average weight loss is 7 pounds over 7 weeks, which is really fascinating. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe this is the holy grail of weight loss. I don't know. But I haven't lost any weight yet, so we'll see.
And that seems like a very slow way to lose it, which is the best way, because, come on, but you don't gain it overnight.
Right, and it's the laziest way, so why not? Yeah. You don't have to do anything.
It is the laziest way.
Right?
We all
so I'll
it.
Take it. Yeah. Yeah, 7 pounds, sure.
Yeah.
Ian Schur is his name. You can find him on Twitter at Ian Schur, IANSHERR. He's over at CNET, executive editor. And before we let you go, just super quickly, we were talking about the iPhone batteries. Judy had mentioned a colleague in the newsroom has a new phone and was going in to get that serviced. And they were saying how there's really kind of a delay and a backup with these batteries, but we have all year to do it, correct?
Huge. Yes, you have the whole year. And, you know, there was one, actually, the Washington Post had one of their columnists to try to replace his battery, and they found that, at least in D.C., the Apple store he went to said that they were backed up by 6 months. So it's Apple's going to have to find an answer to how to solve this pretty quick, because they've gotten it's a huge PR disaster that had happened in the first place. But now the question is, how do they make sure that they make right by all of us and do it in a reasonable amount of time? And that's going to be an interesting thing to see.
So should we go to an Apple store like ASAP and register so we're in on the one-year mark? Is that what we should do, or are they really...
You know, I think it doesn't hurt if you're really worried to do that. I think also it doesn't hurt to call Apple. You know, their website, you can even text with them, and it might be better to go down that route, especially if you don't like standing in line, which who does?
Yeah, I don't do
that.
So I'm
a fan these days of calling. Apple actually gets very high marks routinely from people like the customer review sites, because they are very responsive on the phone and on their website.
All right, well, we'll do that. Is this a battery we can change ourselves? Because like maybe we could do it mail order, or do we need to bring it in and have them
you
do
can.
It? You can do it
so
yourself.
If you're not worried about breaking... Right, you can. If you're not worried about breaking your warranty, that's the thing. Apple won't let you do it on your own. You'll ruin your warranty. But there is a company out there called iFixit.
Yeah.
Which we will actually have. We will have it on our stage at on Thursday. So if you watch our live show on CNET.com, you'll eventually see them. I think it's around 1 p.m. Pacific, so that's 3 p.m. your time. We're going to show how easy it is. They're going to do it in under 15 minutes. And so it's pretty easy. It's the same price as Apple's replacement. But you can do it yourself. And if you're out of the warranty, why not?
That's a good point. We'll watch that Thursday at 3 p.m. our time. You can go to CNET.com and look for that. iFixit is what you're talking about. Ian, thank you so much. Happy browsing at CES.
Go geek out.
Thank you very much.
Ian Schur, he is from CNET, as we celebrate this Tech Tuesday, and a lot to celebrate with CES going on. This is sponsored by Illinois Tech Stewart School of Business. Thank you, Esteban. Steve Bertrand doing the news. Judy Pilak is sitting in for Bill Left today, and I am Wendy Snyder. You're listening to WGN Radio. And this is where people are going to text me and tell me that I'm a whiner. And I might be whining a little bit.
You mean they didn't start that right at 10?
God, why do I even let you come in here? No, I,
you
know what?
Know I'm a kidder.
I know. I didn't even look at the text, so I'm sure that already started. Here's the thing. Do you bake at all?
I do.
I cook. I don't bake. Jasmine, do you bake? Are you a baker?
Baker.
Really?
All day.
I don't know what it is other than I don't like to be told what to do and you have to follow the recipe precisely if you're baking.
Yeah, not really.
Cooking, you can improvise. Baking, you gotta you put a little more baking soda or, God forbid, put baking powder instead of baking soda.
Right.
You're screwed.
Yeah, I make a mean cheesecake.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite thing.
And I trick it up a little bit. Probably took a while, though, to get it perfect.
All right, so cheesecake is your specialty?
Maybe, yeah. You know, I think about it, maybe.
I love cheesecake.
Yeah.
Jasmine, what's your specialty?
Judy stole mine. I believe cheesecake is the best.
My Caramel. Birthday is February 12th. Maybe we should do a battle of the cheesecakes.
Ooh, maybe we should. Maybe Ooh. You can use those parfait glasses.
No, I'm getting rid of those.
Or do you like sweet potato pie?
It's all right.
I don't know that I've ever had it.
Don't know what you're missing. I'm bringing it.
See, I'll tell you.
Is it actually sweet potatoes?
Yeah, but it's good. It's like a pumpkin and sweet potato. It's kind of a mixture because I know you hear it and you're like, that doesn't
like
go
pumpkin.
In a pie.
I don't like pumpkin pie, so I bet I won't like it.
You will like mine.
It's better.
Right, I will bring it.
I will try it. Absolutely.
All right. I have no specialty when it comes to baking cookies or really baking anything.
Sure? Cakes, muffins.
Toll House cookies, and now it's so easy because you can get the dough already made.
Yeah, you could just buy them in a container.
No, I like the fresh baked, you know. I love cookies. I didn't get very many holiday cookies. My sister-in-law made some, and she did a really good job. She has taken Jimmy Mac's grandmother's recipes and made, like, kept it in the family.
Yum.
And the traditional, I can't think of what they're called. They're like little snowballs or like an almond cookie
those.
Kind
they
of
melt
thing.
In your mouth. Yeah.
Absolutely. Powdered sugar.
Yeah.
It's like,
yep.
Those were really good.
The pecan cookies.
Yeah. And why do we only make them for the holidays? I never get those any other time.
That's the only time I ever make those.
Yeah. You're a totally awesome baker.
Mary's a good baker.
I know. Really?
I bake a lot. I made like 6 or 7 kinds of cookies for Christmas.
All right. Yeah. I have a couple of questions. First of all, how far in advance do you bake Christmas cookies? Because don't they get stale?
You keep them out in the cold.
I keep them on my front porch, which isn't.
You do?
I know, it sounds weird.
I have them in tins. I stack them up. I have all 7 different kinds in tins. And when I need to go make a platter for whoever I'm bringing it to or whatever I'm doing, I go out and I bring them all in and I make the platter and then I bring them all back. Yeah, it's
I got to find her address Google Maps. I want to see if the tins are there.
You weren't here. No, they're finally gone. And you know what? Baking is my last thing I do at Christmas because, you know, there's so much other stuff going on. And then I have to get down to the baking. So it's done the last week, usually.
So the week before Christmas.
And it takes you the whole week, doesn't it?
Yeah, I do like a couple like on a Sunday afternoon, the harder ones, and then I'll do the easier ones, you know, fudge and sugar cookies.
And so then how long do they last?
I usually get rid of them right after the new year or, you know, about 5 days after.
And if they're in the tin, they do stay fresh.
They do,
but
you have to keep
them
cold.
You know, I usually get them on a platter because my fabulous friends deliver them to my house.
They don't stay that good on a platter.
Right.
No.
I
gotta get rid of
them because they're so pretty and we just eat them.
You have good friends.
I know.
Put them in a tin.
I just got a couple of cookies this year, and my sister-in-law made some good ones and some not-so-good ones.
Mm.
You know what I like? I think it's a peanut butter cookie with the Hershey's Kiss in it.
Yeah, those are good.
I didn't get any of those this year.
Oh, gosh.
Mary
makes those all the time. I just got rid of the list. And those are my specialties, but my son's allergic to peanut butter. So he gets mad if I make them when he's home because he can smell the peanut butter.
And they smell so good and to be tempted by that.
Mom, light a candle. I can't stand it. You know, I go, you're not going to itch from the smell of peanut butter. You have to taste it, you know, or put it by your lips.
Well, some people, just the smell of it or, you know, in the air.
Now, I had a new cookie this year that my brother's girlfriend, Barb, brought over, and it was like a little cup, but, you know, a cookie cup, and then inside was kind of a pecan mixture. Oh,
like a mini pecan pie?
Kind of,
like
yes.
They made that
like a tart?
Muffin.
Yes, but very small, but you popped it into the whole thing in your mouth, and then it just melted in your mouth. I mean, my son and I, literally, I think we ate all of them. Like all
when you find a cookie, and I bet they're all of Mary's cookies that you like, I can't stop. I kind of have an addiction where it's just like, oh, somebody made toffee, homemade the toffee cookies. And I like had like four or five pieces. A cousin of mine made homemade peanut brittle. Oh, yeah. My God, was
delicious.
That good. Oh,
okay, so good. Now that I think about it, besides my cheesecake, I do make a mean cookie that you there's no way you could stop eating it.
But it takes a special occasion. You would never just go,
I do. Once in a while, I just make them for fun. And they're potato chip cookies. Oh, the best ever. Now, they were really good with, and is Jay's still, do we still have Jay's potato chips?
Yes, Chicago tradition. I think so.
I thought they went out of business.
Maybe they did.
Anyway, those were the best. They were just really salty and thin, but any potato chip works. Yeah.
So now go Lay's.
So it's kind of like a chocolate chip cookie, but with crushed potato chips in it. Girlfriend, you will love me forever.
Why don't you ever bring those to the newsroom, Judy?
I know, because I can't make it out the door. They're gone.
See, and that's another thing. I might be a little selfish. I bake so infrequently that when I do, why in God's name would I share it with anyone?
Yeah,
I would just hoard it myself.
I only share if there's leftovers that I don't want anymore.
I hear you. Joan's on the line. I know Mary Vandeveld does a lot of cookie baking, but you made a lot of cookies this year?
Oh, God, Wendy, every year.
How many?
Usually I make 2,500.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I don't think I heard you correctly. How many?
2,500.
Mary, how many do you make?
I don't count them. That's crap. No, I don't go anywhere near there. No.
How many do you give away, Joan? Do you give them all away?
Yes, I make about 60 gift tins every year. My 25-year-old son every year says to me, Mom, I need about 35, 40 gift tins.
Tell him to start baking.
I usually start end of September, early October. I freeze them.
Oh, my God.
The ones you were talking about, the little round balls, I call them chocolate snowballs. And what goes in the center of those is a Fannie Mae round milk chocolate ball.
Yum.
Those I have to wait because you can't freeze them because you got the solid milk chocolate ball in the middle. And if you freeze them, the tops will crack up.
Ah. You know what, though? There's nothing like getting a tin of homemade cookies for Christmas.
I know.
I know. Everybody says that. That's why, you know what? I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I can't stop. I can't stop because everybody wants them year after year.
Yeah, I need to give you my address, Joan. I think Judy and Mary will as well.
Definitely. I need some new ones.
What is your specialty, Joan?
I don't know. I personally speaking, guys, I don't eat them because I'm so sick and tired of making them.
Yeah.
How many varieties do you make? How many different kinds?
I make six. And then the one thing that we have a yearly tradition, which is going to sound really silly to some people, but our deceased relatives are all buried in Justice at Resurrection Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And they all loved my butter cookies, which people call them spritz. I call them butter cookies. I don't use the super shooter. I've got the old Miro hand crank press.
Oh, man.
I've got four of those. So they all love the butter cookies. So every year, my husband Tom and I, we make little baggies, gift baggies, with just the butter cookies. We drive to Resurrection. And we put a baggie on everybody's
stone. Oh, that's so sweet.
That is so sweet.
It's just something we've been doing for years.
And you'll never break that habit. Yeah, that's sweet.
Hey, as long as I'm around, I will never break that habit. I mean, I've had some health issues this year.
Well, knock on wood.
I'm really a fighter, so for me to do 2,500 cookies,
God,
dealing with a lot of crap, I don't give up.
Well, you keep fighting the good fight. And, Joan, I hope you don't mind if I stop at Justice Cemetery and pick up those little baggies once you drop them off.
I mean, someone's got to eat them.
Right.
I'm sure the squirrels love them.
Guess who probably gets them? Probably the deer that run through the cemetery. I'm probably feeding the wildlife.
Well, that's good. They need it this time of year. Thank you for calling.
Right. All right. Happy New Year.
You as well. The reason I bring up the cookies is... Delish.com, which I like to read every once in a while, They put together, I'm like salivating right now. I'm totally Pavlov dogs going on. The most iconic holiday cookie state to state. So we'll take a break and then I'll let you know what the most iconic holiday cookie for Illinois is.
How do they come up with that?
I'll let you know and I'll tell you. I don't know that they got it on this one. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Judy Pilak in for Bill Leff on 720 WGN.
Boogie, shake it like a cookie. Boogie, get down like a cookie. Boogie, party like a cookie. Boogie, cookie, cookie. Boogie, low fat, super flat. Scat, scat. Can you do that? You can't catch me.
No.
But I love
you
cookies.
Can. Cookie.
I love cookies. Cookies rule. And if you're trying to figure out what the most iconic holiday cookie in your state is, I'm going to go right to Illinois because obviously that's where we're listening. Maybe Indiana I'll do too, but I don't think you're going to agree with this. Frango chocolate mints were one delicious reason to visit Marshall Fields. Downtown Chicago. They're not made here in front of your eyes any longer, but there's a peppermint patty stuffed cookie that is the Illinois cookie.
Ew. I know people love peppermint patty. I do not.
I don't like mint.
Yeah. Or peppermint in particular. That's too bad. I don't know that I've ever had a cookie like that.
No, and I would
stuffed,
say chocolate
did you say?
Chip.
Stuffed?
Yeah, there's a picture of it. There's a little mint inside a cookie, like a peppermint patty.
I thought it was going to be something with corn, for sure, soybeans.
A corn cookie? Well, you make
know.
A potato chip cookie.
I want to know what Wisconsin's cookie is with all the butter and cream. They better have a really good one.
All right. It's a stupid slideshow, and I hate
what
that
are
they
the,
do. Here's Indiana. Oh, my God. I don't even know what this is. Clabber Girl baking powder got its start in Terre Haute, and the ingredient is still a key for making chocolate crinkle cookies. The powder gives the cookies just the right amount of lift. I've seen these cookies before.
Sound good. Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's a chocolate cookie with powdered sugar on it, and it looks like it's smashed a little bit. That's the
not my fave.
That's Indiana's. Chocolate crinkle cookies. Iowa is... listen to this, Judy. When you think of Iowa, you probably picture fields of swaying corn stalks. Even in more urban parts of the state, people can get on board with sweet corn cookies. I didn't know that existed. It looks like a sugar cookie, kind of.
Oh, it does.
You can go to
Delish. Does it taste like corn?
Well, if it's like sweet corn, you know how they make a corn casserole sometimes that's really sweet? You want to know what Wisconsin is?
It better be the butter cookie.
Oh, God.
Got to be like a Norwegian cookie or something like that.
Or a cheese cookie. Michigan? Do we care about Michigan? If you love cherries, Michigan is the place to be in the summertime, even during the holidays. However, residents find ways to munch on the tart fruits. There's a chocolate cherry cookie. It's like a chewy cherry and a chocolate chip cookie mix. That sounds gross.
Yeah, icky. I thought it'd be something blueberry for Michigan.
No.
Wisconsin?
Missouri gooey butter cakes. My sister-in-law Sheila makes those too. It's just gooey cake, they call it. It's kind of like vanilla cake mix that hasn't been cooked all the way.
It's
really good. It's really good. Well, she cuts it in bars, but you can make it. New York, while I'm looking, cake-like cookies coated with a thick layer of frosting, a symbol for New York City. I don't know what they're called, but there's a picture of it.
I would have thought they would have had some kind of an apple cookie.
It's
what are the parameters? What are they basing this on?
I don't know.
Those look actually New York, don't they?
Yeah, I can't find
classic.
The name of them. It's half vanilla, half chocolate, and kind of a shortbready looking thing. I have to get to Wisconsin, and it's alphabetical order here, so I'm in the O's.
Oregon, well, coffee cookie?
I didn't see that. I love a chocolate chip cookie with nuts. Can I just say that goes together? What am I looking for, Wisconsin? Here we go. Wisconsin, according to Delish.com, and you can go find out the cookies according to your state. I don't agree with ours. It's a peppermint patty type thing. Wisconsin residents are no strangers to cream cheese. And then when they're making holiday treats, they're not just reserving it for the frosting. Cream cheese cookies are insanely easy and might just become your new go-to. All right. I love cream cheese more than anything.
All right. How do you make that?
They do give a recipe. So if you go to Delish.com, you may want to...
Now, is that cream cheese on top of a cookie? Or is that a soft...
You can mix cream cheese with a lot of stuff for cookies. Like Oreo balls, when you make those, it's cream cheese mixed with crushed Oreo balls. That's what it is. So
I mix cream cheese with everything.
Yeah, so you can make a lot of different kind of cookies with cream cheese, actually.
These are cream cheese, the recipes for cream cheese sugar cookies, so they look like sugar cookies with a cream cheese frosting. Bring it on. That's all I got to say. And Pam is on the line. Hi, Pam.
Hi, I'm just calling to say that I make a Christmas cookie and it takes 1 pound of butter.
And for how many cookies?
Almost,
one.
It's a lot. It's, you know, I've never really counted. It's I don't know, dozens, quite a few dozens. They're small. They're about the size of a quarter to a 50-cent piece or a half dollar maybe. It depends. You roll them in balls and you squish them down with the fork crisscross. And then you do the powdered sugar thing, and, yeah, they just melt in your mouth. They're so good. 1 pound of butter.
Oh, I love it. Is that what they're called, 1 pound of butter cookies? Because they should.
No, they're called crisscross Kringles. I got them from a friend years ago.
I need to start baking.
You dip them in powdered sugar, but then you also, I add a little red sugar and green sugar in the powdered sugar just to give it a little fleck of red and green with the powdered sugar.
I like that.
Great idea.
Very creative, Pam. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
Oh, anytime she was going to say.
You should, around the holidays, you guys should do a Christmas cookie competition, and then people will either drop off or mail you cookies.
Do I have to partake in it?
Well,
can I just be the judge?
Yes, you're the judge.
Oh, I don't have to bake?
No. Because as we've determined, you can't bake.
No, I can't.
You can, you just don't want to.
I don't want to.
And so people who don't want to bake, they don't usually bake that well. That's been my...
Yeah, that's true.
You're either a cooker or a baker.
I'm a cooker.
Yeah. I mean, people who do it because they have to, they cut corners.
I'll just buy stuff from Mary. She makes the best.
And I'll buy stuff from you that you make.
You guys can buy stuff from the Girl Scouts.
Oh, is it that time?
It's that time. I've got the sheet up
Listen to him.
All right.
The Girl Scout Cookie Mafia is entering WGN Newsroom. So
I'm glad you bring that up because I have boys and I was a campfire girl. I was not a Girl Scout. I will, I think I have to do those.
The lemon ones are
Do-si-dos. Those are the shortbread cookies, I think.
The Savannah Smiles, I think, is the
Savannah
one Judy's talking
Smile.
About.
Yeah.
The tagalongs.
All right. We'll talk Girl Scout cookies, and we'll do the news with Ryan Burrow coming up next, 720 WGN. Thank you, Ryan. I have to tell you, I'm kind of a bad mom. A lot of times we go the junk food route because... I don't cook as much as I used to anymore. I will in my new kitchen. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But I'm telling you, when the kids were little, I want to say that Jimmy Mack was one of the few dads I knew who would get a Happy Meal for the kids, but then come home and make green beans with it.
Nice.
So they would have a Happy Meal, but they would have some vegetables as well. And now you go to McDonald's, and I got to be honest with you, their value menus. You can really get dinner in a hurry for cheap, and the kids like it.
I had a Big Mac over the holidays.
It's good, isn't it?
It's so good. But I used to have a lot more Big Macs. I don't, so that's a good thing. Everyone does it. Don't think you're a bad mom. I get home late now. I always make dinner, even at 8 o'clock at night.
You do?
Not always, let me say. I try. And lately it's hard because it's late and I feel bad for the kids, even though they're adults. And
I know
why they're not making me dinner.
Right.
But a lot of times I will do the Jimmy Mac thing. I will go to, you know, KFC and get chicken and then I'll make my own size to go with it.
All right. Well, you've heard this in the past. You've heard that junk food and fast food and processed food is addictive. I've heard it. I don't believe it. My 15-year-old was trying to give up on it because I told him it was addictive. And he goes, no, it isn't, really. And he stopped having it, and lo and behold, he wasn't craving it as much. So we have a food addiction expert on the line with us, and she has written a book called Processed Food Addiction, Foundations, Assessment, and Recovery. She has a Facebook group, Food Addiction Education, which gives you free online expertise to food addicts around the world. And please welcome to the show Dr. Joan Ifland. Hi, doctor.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we were talking about processed food, and, you know, I'll be the first person to admit it. I'm not too proud to say it's awesome. It's really tasty. But there's a reason it's tasty, and it's addictive, isn't it? Please explain how this becomes addictive.
Okay, so plants have naturally occurring endorphins in them, and when you concentrate them, they become addictive. And when you eat them repeatedly, the brain actually adapts. It starts to secrete more dopamine, more stress neurotransmitters, and fewer decision-making transmitters. So that is the process of addiction. And if you were beginning to smoke cigarettes, for example, that would be a gradual process that would occur in response to each additional cigarette. So you have to do it repeatedly before the brain starts to create those really intense urges at the same time that you can't quite remember why you're not supposed to be doing it. So it's a 1-2 punch. You've got the urge, and then the memory part of the brain is not bringing up the reasons not to do it. So the brakes aren't working while the dopamine pathways are going full steam ahead.
So it truly does make you feel better when you get your addiction filled. It chemically makes you feel better.
For a moment. So to me, the cycle is, not just to me, but in the research, the cycle is about 20 minutes. It's very similar to a cigarette, where you feel better for about 20 minutes, and then you start into withdrawal. You feel worse, and you think, oh, well, I just need another fill in the blank, and I'll feel better. And that is the addictive cycle. Withdrawal avoidance is one of the things that continues to drive the desire to have things that, you know, are not really good for you.
I just quit smoking November 12th. I was having
Thank
you. It's not that big of a deal. Yeah. I hate when people congratulate me, but it was a big deal to me. I was having my knee replaced, and they said that, you know, you have higher risks of complications and don't heal as well if you smoke. Mm-hmm. So I quit smoking. Mm-hmm. I was working with my partner, Bill Leff, who's on vacation today, and he said, you know what's weird? Since you quit smoking, you seem less stressed to me. And it is true, because now I'm not worrying about, oh my God, when is the commercial over? I'm going to run outside and have a cigarette. So I am less stressed.
Right. Yes, and also addictive substances activate the stress pathways in the brain. So when you get the dopamine surge, which is the craving, the brain attempts to compensate by increasing the stress neurotransmitters in the brain. So when you stop stimulating the dopamine, you also stop stimulating that stress pathway.
All right. Now, how does this work with, you know, a quarter pounder or a McDouble or a Wendy's double? I don't want to just, you know, yell at McDonald's.
Yeah. So there are a number of categories of addictive foods. And when you combine them, they become more addictive. So sugar is a big one. And there's sugar, for example, in the ketchup. Salt is another one, and the salt content of that item is pretty high. Dairy is another one. Dairy has four different kinds of opiates in it. And when you concentrate it into cheese, it does become addictive. And processed fats. And then if you have that meal with French fries and a soft drink, you are introducing more sugar, more caffeine, and then the processed fats that are used to make the French fries.
All right, how do you break this habit?
Okay, so I'm so sympathetic to the idea that we don't have time, and that's true. I have a system for making all your meals in 2 hours on the weekend.
Wait, and all your meals for the week in 1 2-hour increment on the weekend?
Yes. So you just pack your oven, you know, you make your salmon fillet and you make your roast and you roast your chicken, you make your turkey patties. Your oven is packed and all your proteins are made on the weekend in 2 hours. And then you make all your starches. So you make a pot of beans and you make a pot of rice and you bake your sweet potatoes and all your starches are made so that when you get home, all you're doing is dumping some salad into a salad bowl and putting out the proteins and starches that you've already made. And at the same time, you've got a meal container out and you're packing up your lunch for the next day.
You are a genius, but now people have to follow this. Dr. Joan Iflin down the line with us. You can follow her Facebook page, which is Food Addiction Education. She has foodaddictionreset.com as her website. She's on Twitter at PF Addiction. And you've also written a book, Process Food Addiction, Foundations, Assessment, and Recovery. We're going to take a quick break, and then we need to delve into that two-hour menu planning for the whole week once again.
Thank you.
All right. And if you have questions, 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder and it's Judy Pilak in for Bill Leff on 720 WGN. All right. I don't know where to begin here because we have a very intelligent guest, Dr. Joan Iflin, on the line with us. You can follow her on Twitter at PF Addiction. You can go to her website, foodaddictionreset.com, and she also has a Facebook group, Food Addiction Education. We are learning so much about processed food, but Judy, you have a question for Dr.
Right, Dr. Joan, so are you saying that fast food is purposely made to be addicting?
There is evidence for that. So, for example, I know a former director of research for one of the big food manufacturers. And he told me, now this is him, but it's his personal experience, that he had scientists under him whose full-time job it was to make the foods addictive. And I think what we have to remember is that the tobacco companies got control of processed foods in the late 1980s. And from that time on, you see the application of a marketing model. It has a fancy name. It's called the Modern Industrial Epidemic of Addiction. And it has very specific elements. I call them the five A's of an epidemic of addiction. It's advertising, affordability, availability, young age of onset, and addictive properties in the food. So we know, for example, that we have reports of scientists who are using MRI technology to formulate processed food products to deliberately stimulate that production of dopamine, which is the core of the alterations that the brain goes through to become addicted.
Okay, so that makes sense because I was thinking, you know, I usually make dinner every night and, you know, but I use butter. I use sour cream a lot. I mean, I come from this Eastern European background where we use a lot of dairy and cheese. And so, you know, but just the fact that I'm making it from, you know, sort of from scratch, that's going to help not become addictive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Because the amount of salt, for example, that the
way less
food industry puts in, is way more than you would ever dump into your own meals. And you're not using food additives. And we really don't know what food additives the food industry is using these days. So you have a head start there, absolutely. And you're not going to use the really highly adulterated processed fats.
But what about meat?
Yes.
What everyone's complaining about with the steroids and the, you know, I mean, are we okay with that still?
Well, what I say about the meat issue is that first get off the processed foods. Because meat is not a processed food.
Okay.
Get off the processed foods. You know, get your budget to where you want it to be. Because processed foods turn out to be more expensive than unprocessed foods. Your health will come back. Your medical expenses will go down. You know, you'll be so much calmer. You're not running out to get processed foods and you're not going back and forth to the refrigerator. So you might be able to, for example, improve your earnings. So there are lots of financial issues attached to processed food addiction because it makes us tired and depressed. So once you're out from under that, you can say, well, look, I could take a little part-time job here, and lots of ways to improve your financial picture. Then look at the meat issue because, yes, of course, you know, we would like to not support abuse of farm animals. But that's what I call an advanced issue. Don't even think about that until your life has become more stable and more pleasant and more energetic as you come off the processed food.
Like any addiction, one day at a time.
It's true. And, exactly. You know, I think about it, and my mom worked. She was a single mother, and she cooked dinner every night, and it was always, you know, some kind of meat, some kind of starch, and some kind of vegetable. And, you know, yeah, I guess carbohydrates are supposed to be the devil's food, but not when eaten in moderation, you know? And
Go ahead and finish.
No, that's just it.
So the whole deal with all foods is to divide them. So if you say to an alcoholic, you've got to stop drinking, you're not talking about water. You're talking about alcohol.
Right.
So we're used to dividing. Okay. We're used to dividing beverages into alcoholic and non-alcoholic. So if you do the same thing with food, then bingo, the light comes on. So you have your unprocessed, non-addictive foods, which are the meats and potatoes and rice and beans, which have not been ground up into a powder, for example. And you have your low-sugar fruits and you have your beautiful vegetables. Those are unprocessed, non-addictive. And then on the other side, so this is the great divide. On the other side, you have your sugar and sweeteners, you have refined flour, you have dairy, you have excessive salt and processed fats and caffeine, and those are addictive. So those are like the alcohol, and then the other foods are like water. Some are safe and non-addictive, and others are addictive. So once you really get that deep on the inside, wow. Wonderful things can happen.
We are unfortunately out of time, but I would love to talk to you again about, I'm kind of a Diet Coke addict, and I hear that, you know, the fake sweeteners are bad for you. So we will book you again for another time. In the meantime, can read your book, Processed Food Addiction. You can go to foodaddictionreset.com. Also follow Dr. Joan Ifland on Twitter at PF Addiction. Where can we find those recipes? For on a Sunday, 2 hours worth of work, and then you're set for the week.
Wendy, thank you so much. That is a book which will be on Amazon within the week. You know, we've just brought out the big book, the Processed Food Addiction Foundation Assessment and Recovery is I would call it a definitive work. I wrote it over 3 years. It has 2,000 citations. It's a 240,000 word book. It answers all the questions about processed food addiction from the evidence, from the research, very well-grounded book. But as I put that on the market, I thought, you know, people are going to want to know how to do this. So within the week, we will have the prep manual, the meal prep manual up on Amazon. And I'm so grateful to you for inviting me back. And we'll talk about that one then.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Ifland.
Thank you.
Happy eating.
She makes so much sense. I kind of don't like her.
That's how things work with you, huh? All right. Judy and I will be going to the stream momentarily. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve Bertrand will hold down the fort here on 720 with the Wind Trust Business Lunch. That's coming up next on WGN.